the Public News Service Daily Newscast for July the 29th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Texas is one of several states hit hardest by COVID-19. Some faith communities now are taking steps to make sure their vulnerable members can vote safely in November.
Josh Houston, advocacy director for the group Texas Impact, says voting by mail is the best option for people over 65 or with disabilities. He says the July 14th primary runoff provided a test run for vote by mail, and the results suggested there are technical issues that need to be fixed.
This is kind of a real dangerous moment for democracy, this pandemic. But Oregon's been doing this since the year 2000, and they've cast more than 100 million ballots and have only 12 cases of fraud. So it seems to be a pretty safe way to do it.
I'm Roz Brown.
On Monday, the National Federation of the Blind of Texas and the Coalition of Texans with Disabilities filed a federal lawsuit. It claims that the Texas mail-in ballot system discriminates against them by limiting their ability to participate independently. Senate Republicans rejecting a White House-backed plan to tuck money for the design and construction of a new FBI headquarters into the latest coronavirus relief bill, despite including that funding in a GOP proposal released on Monday. That comes from National Public Radio. NPR reports Republicans criticized the provision less than a day after the legislation was unveiled. Democrats had already accused Trump of including the money to prevent the existing FBI building, which is across from the Trump Hotel in D.C., from being sold and redeveloped into a hotel that might compete with his Trump property. Governor Andy Beshear has announced he's planning to restart Connect, the state-based health insurance exchange that allows people unable to get coverage through an employer to enroll in a health insurance plan or sign up for Medicaid if they qualify.
Former Governor Matt Bevin dismantled the program in 2017. Director for Policy Advocacy at Kentucky Voices for Health, Kara Stewart, says currently Kentuckians who want to be insured through the Affordable Care Act have to apply through the one-size-fits-all federal platform on healthcare.gov. She notes the state has no local control to tailor coverage to the needs of Commonwealth residents.
Having your own state-based marketplace means that you have the final answer in Kentucky. It means that you can decide when to have open enrollment periods. It would have meant that we could have had a special open enrollment period because of the COVID-19 pandemic. We could have created an opportunity for people to enroll in coverage.
The federal government has so far refused to open a special enrollment period for health coverage through the ACA amid the pandemic. One study from Families USA estimates that between February and May, more than 5 million Americans lost health coverage as a result of losing their jobs. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. And as Congress debates a new coronavirus stimulus bill, more people in Utah are facing food insecurity. That is, the economy struggles with the effects of the pandemic.
Groups that offer social services say some families who were previously able to provide healthy meals will see a double whammy at the end of this week. That's when the enhanced federal unemployment assistance is set to expire, leaving many households unable to pay rent. Gina Cornea with Utahns Against Hunger says the number of families needing food assistance has already grown rapidly.
In February, our food security was about 8.2%. Fewer than 1 in 10 Utah households were experiencing food insecurity. Between April and June, that jumped up to 17.4%.
She says demand for SNAP benefits, formerly known as food stamps, has remained steady since March, although food banks and similar charities have reported a spike in demand. But she worries that could soon get worse. Mark Richardson reporting.
Our Mary Sherman reports the arrests of people protesting the death of George Floyd have drawn attention to a system that many believe discriminates against those who don't have the money for bail. Often that means people of color.
Since the protests began, donations to bail funds have increased more than ever, with some celebrities urging people to sign petitions and donate on social media. While appreciative of the influx of donations, Stacey Little, co-creator of the Columbus Freedom Fund, is also being discreet about the amount. She believes some bail amounts are being inflated in order to deplete bail funds.
We don't want the wrong ears to get on that. And it's like, okay, well, they have this amount of money, so we're going to set this person's bail at $100,000. We'll deplete our bail fund much quicker.
Within 5 days of Floyd's death, the Minnesota Freedom Fund raised more than $20 million in donations, more than the group expected. This story was produced with original reporting from Ashley Johnson at Kent State.
Finally, our Andrea Sears tells us today's International Tiger Day. Conservation groups are highlighting efforts to preserve tiger habitat and increase the numbers of this endangered species.
A century ago, there were an estimated 100,000 tigers in the wild, but by 2010, that number had dropped to 3,200. That year, a tiger summit held in Russia designated July 29th as International Tiger Day and launched T x 2, an international effort to double the tiger population by 2022, which is the next year of the tiger on the Chinese calendar. According to Nilanga Jayasingha with the World Wildlife Fund, that effort is beginning to pay off.
So we still have a long ways to go, but we have been able to change that downward trajectory.
To aid the effort, in 2016, WWF joined with Discovery to launch Project CAT, Conserving Acres for Tigers, to protect healthy habitat for tigers in three countries.
I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Remember, listeners, support it and online at publicnewsservice.org.